Since I know where the sermon's going, I know sometimes that the hymn of preparation really is preparing you for something. And that's effectively a prayer, and I hope you noticed that pretty humbling. You had to say, you were scripted to say, I need thee, like several times. And how about an opening line? I need thee, precious Jesus, for I am full of sin. And it goes from there. Are you really that needy? Really? Why don't you return with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We can pick up where we left off in our study. We'll be reading verses 12 through 16. And here Paul is giving us a continued running commentary, really in a running metaphor. We're listening to words of testimony that will challenge us as well. Just explained a thing or two about knowing Christ. Very personal word and call. And here he goes on to paint this picture that's relating to running. If you're a runner, some of you know who you are. You'll identify, I think, with the flow, the scene. It's pretty easy to follow as a runner. If you're a non-runner, you know who you are. Then you can use your imagination on what Paul is describing here. There's striding, there's progress for the believer, the determined runner, just moving forward, all this momentum. And so he describes it in these terms, even a straining in his striding. Listen to this description. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. And hear the word of the Lord. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let's pray together. Father, we do tend to run through this life, sometimes without much purpose, it seems, and without clear direction. And as a result of that, we get exasperated and even tired in this race. And so we would ask you today, through your word and by your spirit, to lead us not only into the proper course, but also to strengthen us so that we can all run with purpose and run with joy in Christ and to Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Springtime is near. Maybe you noticed that. Track season, if that applies. So I do want to talk about running. I think Paul's talking about running. I think I told this a while back, but I like the story. I was reading this about this NCAA cross-country championship. It was in California a while back, and there was it's college runners. It's a 10,000-meter race, so it's a long race, not a sprint. And one thing that made this story memorable is of the 128 runners that ran, 123 missed one of the turns on the course. It's really hard to believe. These are college kids, after all. And you want to factor into that the fact that, this is another striking reality of the story, that one of the runners, named Mike, he noticed that people were missing the turn. So he was a good sport, and he started waving them over to the proper path, and it was a very nice gesture on his part. Over here. And even still, for whatever reason, he couldn't convince the run. Only four other runners followed the right path. And when the race was finally over, someone asked Mike what the other runners thought, what he thought of them, and the decision not to follow. Mike simply replied, quote, "They thought it was funny that I went the right way." He was going the right way. He had the proper path, the proper strides. In a very large race, a long race, a championship race. And I think we can recognize in this that it's odd that only a few ran the course correctly. Only a few finished at all, let alone finished well. I'm reminding you today, and so is Paul, that you're running in a race, and I'm going to assume that you want to finish well. This sounds just ridiculous. You think, I'm not going to go on the wrong path. Well, what do these verses indicate as far as your strides and your goal, for that matter, and the finish line that's marked out for you? Here's the thing. It's easy to get misdirected. Life has other paths, other courses for you to take. And as a follower of Jesus, we need to make a check on the direction that we take and the strides that we take. Are we running the race that is set before us? Is your faith on track? Is it on the right course? Is it in Christ? Is that your race toward Him? We haven't reached the finish line yet, not the finish line, but we are faced with a run. And as a Christian, our strides need to find them moving ever forward and ever focused and ever fluid. And that's even going to be my outline for these verses today. Racing through these verses in this way. Christian stride, that's the title. Ever forward, ever focused, ever fluid. If you look with me at how Paul describes the running form, you'll see that the strides, first of all, are moving ever forward. It's probably the longest point, but we pick up in verse 12.1, the Christian stride ever forward. Again, the running metaphor, it's like he's in the starting blocks, picking up on the thought that he just made in verse 11. And so he's attaining the resurrection from the dead. And then he continues this way, verse 12, see it? "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." And by the way, notice that even Paul, remember Paul, the top dog, if you've been here for the series, the Hebrew of Hebrews, all that stuff from a few verses earlier. Even Paul, the Apostle Paul, is not fully arrived. See that? I don't know if that encourages you. But he's a fellow runner. He's a fellow pilgrim on the path, running to the same place, but he's not going to get distracted. He may be even contrasting the claims that the false teachers that he's been warning his friends about. Remember the dogs back a few verses earlier? Either way, he's saying basically this, because I have not yet fully arrived, there it is, because I am not yet complete or perfect in my knowledge of Jesus, in my obedience, in my running, my walking, if you will, I need to keep on striding ever forward. From the start of the sounding gun, till I break the tape, at the finish line, forward all the time. And the start of the sounding gun for all of you, and Paul's given his testimony about his conversion. That's the day when grace grabbed you, made you belong to Jesus. Very tangibly, spiritually, completely, he takes hold of you, and from that moment on, you're set moving in the right direction. You're in his righteousness. You have that happy day of a new beginning in Christ. So you go forward. Paul refers to that divine action in verse 12 when he speaks of making, is Jesus making him his own. See that verse 12? He's taking hold of him. Maybe if you like the picture literally, it's going to be apprehending, grabbing, he's seizing him, taking him to himself, taking him into his service. And that's, if you remember the storyline, the road to Damascus. Paul's, if you remember Paul's original plan at that time, you remember what Paul was going to do? Paul was on his way to persecute Christians. That was the plan. And Jesus had a different plan. He's going to, oh, you're going to that town to do this? Well, I'm going to apprehend you. And so it's not like, you know, Mike was just waving his hands. Over here, over here. No. This is Jesus knocking him off his horse and saying, I got you. I got you. Apprehended, seized, taken hold of. New course for Paul. That's when the gun went off. The starting gun, finish line up ahead. So here's Paul, he's striding toward the tape. The ultimate prize, which is what? What's the ultimate prize? It's always good. Sunday's a really good day to think of this. Every day is a good thing. The prize is Jesus. You might hear something more about that throughout this sermon. The prize is Jesus. Here comes Paul striding toward the tape of the finish line. If you listen to how he describes that in verse 13, see it? He said, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Again, it's a vivid image of the runner. He also appears to be in a long race. This is not a sprint. Again, think 10K marathon. This is depending how long the Lord has you here. And the strides, or the straining, if you will, includes forgetting. Forgetting what lies behind. He didn't look back. Now, if you're a runner, you know that that's a thing. You're not, if you're always, you know, turning around for whatever reason, that's bad form. The runners look forward and onward. They don't look back there. And I circled this in my own notes, thinking, what does it mean to forget? Because I think it's pretty clear in the context that Paul doesn't mean losing your memory. He just got done remembering and reflecting on things that had come before, like his own life, forgetting what lies behind, but yet he just did that. So does he mean just like have just lose your mind? No, he's saying that don't fret, don't pay attention to, don't concern yourself, and maybe more viscerally, don't condemn yourself. Don't condemn yourself for what's back there, behind you. The past has passed. You're moving forward, ever forward. Basically, here's why the looking back is incorrect and the way to run. When you're on the right path, when you have the right plan, when you're apprehended by Jesus, the striding is ever forward. And even that quick backward glance can break your stride. Some of you know I rarely make references to movies in the pulpit. And I told you why. Because in seminary we were told don't do that. Unless there's no reference to sexual things or bad language or gross violence. Okay? So But Chariots of Fire, I think, is none of those things. Chariots of Fire, so I'm going to use Chariots of Fire here. Last week I used Willy Wonka in the evening service. So very few movies, this is one. But Chariots of Fire, there's the scene, if you remember, there's the running coach, and if not, I'll describe it. You got Harold Abrahams, and the coach is, they're in this dark room, and they're looking at slides. The coach is trying to tell Abrams why that American runner lost.
And there's a picture of the American runner. He's lurching forward, remember, and I need to do this sideways. And he's looking, he's at the finish line, and he's looking at the guy next to him. And the coach, practically in rebuked tones, disgust, he says to him pointedly, "Now look, that glance cost him the race." And there's a similar caution here that I think you can see. Here's the coach, Coach Paul. He's pressing on. He's striding ever forward in the faith, and he wants his friends to do the same. You don't want to take that quick glance to the right or to the left, and certainly not over your shoulder. That can cost you. And it won't cost you the race itself if you are in Christ, if you've been apprehended by Christ, but that backward glance at your past, if you've ever gone there to stew and let the enemy accuse. The pain, the worry, the regret, glancing backward. Depending on where you've been, maybe some of you still think about how your dad treated you. I mean, that has affected your faith to this day. You can't bring yourself to forgive. You can hardly move forward at times. You're so stuck at what's back there. Others of you might be your teen years, and you look back and say, why did I go to that party? Why did I go out with that person? Pain, backward glances, tripping you up. Or maybe it's your marriage right now. You're looking back 10, 15, 20, 40 years, and you're saying, man, did I marry the right person? Whatever that even means. Or you question your calling, or how God got you to this place in your life. As though God's providence does not apply to your past, but it does. Back then. Or maybe back then you were a self-righteous persecutor of the bride of Christ, like Paul. And you dwell on this, and it slows you down. It keeps you from striding ever forward. And so don't do it. Don't take the backward glance. Don't allow the enemy to taunt you with the past. Forget it. Or pay no attention to it. Again, forget. Don't condemn yourselves, because in Christ you're not condemned. Don't let it burden you. It's behind you now. The past is back then. It's back there. And if you're in Christ, your past sins, your past actions, they're not only forgettable, they're forgivable. You hear that every week right here. You are righteous in Jesus. Here's why. Because he's apprehended you, taken hold of you, made you his own, verse 12. So you're free from the power of sin, all the sins. And that's good news. That's the gospel truth. So when the good news is applied, you can see how what matters most is running toward what lies ahead, ever forward. Not only moving ever forward, but ever focused. Those are the strides of the Christian, forward and focused, point two. And specifically, the steps are ever focused on what? What does Paul say? You can look down. It's not cheating to look. But verse 14, the focus is on the goal and the prize. You see that? Running, there's Paul's testimony. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Does that sound like focus? That he's dialed in. He's got the course. He's got the,
the cause, or as he calls it here, I got the call. I got the call to Christ. Isn't that what it says? It's very clear. He's focused. He's pressing on. In verse 12, he's repeating the fact that he's pressing on. And here in verse 14, he says it twice. He's pushing, he's driving, he's setting his steps in motion, partly because he has not yet arrived at the finish line. He's not reached the final goal. What is the goal? I told you this earlier. And even if you didn't hear it earlier, you get one good guess. It's the same goal that Paul has been taking and talking about in the previous verses, verses 7 through 11, if you were here, we looked at that. And it's knowing Christ. It's Christ himself. That's the goal. It's a person. That's what makes it personal. It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew Jesus right now in this season of his life, but he wanted to know him more and more and more, completely, perfectly. That's the ultimate goal. That's his focus. So he's ever focused. The steps and the strides, the straining, as he calls it here, it's heavenward to the Holy One, the Lord Jesus. And the image here in verse 14, it's a runner, okay? Still starting right at the, getting toward the final goal, striding forward like we saw, fixed gaze. And here, Paul knew, and this is what we need to know, and here again, that what's on the other side of that finish line? I think I dominated the sack race in elementary school. I had a certain flair about the sack race. So I know what it's like to cross the finish line. This is one that we haven't gotten there yet, and yet we know already what's on the other side of that. Not just grape juice or grape soda and a lollipop. Look at this. And it's not even a chintzy tin cup. It's not even a shiny gold medal. It's not even a pile of cash. What is the grandest prize of all? Again, it's Jesus. All of the running that you're doing right now, all of it, is leading you there. You're ever focused on him. Your eyes are on the prize. And the prize is, it's not just a place. It's a person. Your Savior. You take your strides to that prize, onward, upward, verse 14, called there. You're not distracted, you're not deceived, you're not looking at the lesser prizes that are set out in front of you, like the kind that steal your attention, steal your affection even away, like, well, there's Jesus, but I got these other things going on here. Paul's cheering you on. He's pointing the way, not unlike Mike, the runner, pointing over here, over this way, one, this is the right, go over here. And yet you've noticed very, very oddly, not only college students in a championship race, but your friends. The competitors, they choose other ways. Other paths, other courses, other persons, other prizes, if you want to call them that. The wrong way leads you off course, duh. The wrong way leads you to folly, at least. And in this race that Paul is describing, the wrong way leads you to condemnation. The right way leads you to Christ. Why in the world would you want to set your focus on folly and finish lines and goals like what? Like, I don't know,
You can fill in your own blank here. What are some lame goal lines? I pick on this from time to time. The power of curating the perfect life, whether in person or online, trying to get other people to believe that you've got it all together. Do you? And do people really believe that? That would be one way to think. I will pursue that. Running to gain material objects. A full Costco cart with coupons in hand. Success. Or, to make it more troubling, you think, I'm going to run into the arms of that illicit lover. That's the goal. Now, that's folly. And you know that. False prize, false hopes, folly, followed by failure. A putrid prize, shame and loss. And Christians know that. You need to realize here as you review the prize that one day you finally and fully are with the Lord Jesus and you're made like him. You're made like him. If you even think that anything is better than that, then you're deceived. And you can't know the joy that comes from knowing Christ that Paul's been underscoring throughout this entire letter. We do have hearts that are prone to wander. I get it. There are false trails of hope. And when you run down those, is it any wonder? It is not that the Christian life seems to be less than exciting, if that's even the right word, as though all the runners going that way, all the ones going the wrong way, have got it right. And they don't. And you know that. And Paul's reminding you of such things. You keep your focus ever forward. And if you ever do feel lackluster in your faith, it's not God's fault. That's your fault. It's your sin, perhaps. It's your waywardness. Chasing other loves. As we sung earlier today, those are idols. Paul's already mentioned everything else is a loss, verse 7, glancing back at that, or rubbish, verse 8, if you were here for that. Verse 13 here, it's forgotten. And if you say you're a Christian and that Jesus himself is now the purpose of my life, he's the prize, the goal of my running in this life, then keep moving forward. And if you find that there's something more attractive, then repent. Maybe you've got a Christianity that just got misdirected. You need adjustment. You need to get back on course. Paul's been over a few courses. He's mentioned legalism. That is a losing path. It's a burden. The being good, the following rules, or maybe in your parlance, I'm just going to learn about God, but I don't really want to know him intimately, or at least I don't know how to do that. So I'll load up on how to win arguments. No, you want to know a person, the person who has apprehended you, who's made you his own. That's verse 14 is leading us at the aim, the divine action of grace that calls you to Jesus, that one day lifts you upward or heavenward here to share the eternal presence. That's your high calling. That's the goal. That's the prize. Consider yourself reminded. And hopefully not just reminded, but excited about the prospect. The goal line, the prize. You belong to the one who owns you. Ever toward Jesus, strides that are focused on him. So if you have this momentum, you got the focus, or at least can see that that's a worthy thing. And what about the form of the runner? This is a pretty quick point. We got the running form. It's pretty essential for runners. You know that.
So look at the stride here. It's got to be ever fluid. That's the final point. Christian stride, ever forward, verses 12 and 13, ever focused, verse 14, and ever fluid. Ever fluid. From our front porch, I can see the cross-country kids from Kennewickai go by. And some have better form than others. And, you know, they're kids, but probably all of them have better form than me. So maybe that's why I notice it. There's something about the person where just watching them run, I think it doesn't hurt to watch them run. Or I think that might even be fun, that it's so fluid. Graceful, you could even say. Not choppy, it's not inefficient. The feet, the arms are moving forward with some force and fluidity. Good form. And so what's the application here? Verses 15 and 16, I think you'll see what a fluid stride can look like. And it's one that's the result of training, proper training. Paul puts it this way, verse 15, see that? Let those of us who are mature think this way. And by the way, the word that is used for mature is related to, so we got perfect back in verse 12. It's a similar word used here. It's related to that. So the way that Paul's been talking about, really, Paul's rejoicing in the Lord. He wants to see the Lord. He wants to serve him. He has revealed the love of the Lord. Remember the humility of the Lord, chapter 2, the unity, chapter 2, all this. This is the developed adult-like, not childlike way of running. You can see how people who fit this description, they're trained. That's what coaches do. They show you how to run and put it into practice. You got good form, and that includes, in this case, service, the good deeds that Paul's been talking about, the unity, all that stuff. Fluid, faithful. And so Paul's saying here, among other things, you should be. So we looked at his testimony, not just about the self-righteous time when he's talking about the dogs and his comparison of his life. And the comparison with the humble Christ who was obedient to death on a cross in the chapter before. But here, the advancement of the faith, Paul's saying, I'm not going to get bogged down by the false teachers, the dogs. I've been trained to press on. I know how to run well. Fluid motion and strides moving toward the goal. And in addition to the training, I think it's baked into this that he's teachable. So if you're a good runner in this case, you're trained. You like the training, and you're finding that you're teachable. Meaning that when the teaching comes, when you see passages like this, there's something in you that says, I want to grab a hold of this, even if it corrects me. I might not enjoy the process of finding out that what I was just told was kind of a rebuke. Maybe a call to repent. But I want that because I want to run well. So I'm trained by the word, I'm teachable by the Spirit, and by those who come to deliver this word by the Spirit. Paul is one of those such coaches. And he expresses the kind of training here. It's at verse 15, if you look at that. He's got his own confidence in the Lord by stating these words to his friends. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. As if to say, the Lord is in the process of this maturing of you. Not like a lightning bolt comes and boom, I'm an adult now, I'm all mature. There's a teachable training. So Paul, I'm not going to worry myself with all the details of your particular advancement in the gospel. The Lord will take care of that. He is faithful to finish the work he's begun in you, as he says elsewhere. You'll know what you needed in the Lord's time. The Lord is leading you in his way. The fluid runner, trained, teachable, coachable, on course. And I'd add this one. I think the fluid runner is tenacious. There's my further alliteration for today. Training, teachable, and tenacious. This runner is determined. That's what tenacious means. You're resolute. You are unswerving. You're focused, like we saw in the last point. So there are distractions that could tempt you away. Distractions are aplenty in this world. I mentioned some earlier. And the focus is where? In the flow of things. I'm pressing forward. I'm looking up ahead in this race. I'm not looking backward at the path. I'm not looking behind me. I'm looking ahead, striding. And sometimes what's up ahead, and this is implied in the flow of much of Paul's writing. I mentioned the past. You like the idea of forgetting your past? You like that? Forgetting your sins and knowing that they're nailed to the cross? I like that. And sometimes what's up ahead, and you don't even know this, is suffering. Maybe you notice in Paul's letter, he slips that in from time to time. And you think, well, I don't like that part. Well, that's part of the part. Part of the run to Jesus is you're suffering for him. And yet you're still determined, you're tenacious to stride in the strength of the Lord. And here's this consistent stride, the fluid runner. He's not distracted, he's tenacious. In the rhythm of the things, arms, legs, present task, in stride. And here's Paul's present task. He's telling his friends here how this is put into action. What do you know about God's word up to this point in your life? Striding forward. Paul closes out the matter when he tells his friends this, verse 16, goes by pretty quickly. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. As if to say, do you know the truth? Do you know the Lord Jesus? That's the truth. He is the truth. Do you know what he said? Do that. You've been trained in it. You've received the benefits from it, the comfort, the joy that he keeps writing about of your forgiveness and your fellowship and your future and your foreverness. Together. Don't break stride. Don't look back. Don't stray the course. Keep pressing on. Keep doing what the Lord tells you to do. Follow his lead. Go where he's pointing you. And that is to himself. And that's what we're looking at in this particular race of the Christian life. The Christian stride. You see that the course is charted for you. You know where you're going. Check. It's easy to get distracted. Check. And by his word and spirit, the Lord checks you. He checks your motion and your strides, your motives. Are they fluid? Are they focused? Moving forward to the grandest prize of all. This is our race together. We're running together. The Lord has called us together in this race. I'll remind you that every runner of this race wins. Knowing Jesus completely, running with conviction, serving him, serving his body, gathering for spiritual food, encouraging one another, cheering one another on, making your strides until you get closer to the final day, the final lap. And break the tape and see Jesus face to face. Let's pray together.